Order, order. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Development Management Committee, which is held on Monday, the 9th of May. My name is Mark Kingscote, and I am chairman of the committee. On my far right, we have a new planning officer who's just joined us.
Can I just...
Saffron.
Mrs. Saffron. I can't see your surname.
Loseby.
Next to her, Pat Stewart, who's head of development and planning. And on my left, Mrs. Helen Addison, who's the senior planning officer within Torbay Council. On my right, we have Amanda Coote, and on the far right, Elsa Delaney, who is the borough solicitor for the planning department. Councillor Mike Morey is vice chairman of this committee. In the event of the emergency bells going off, would members of the public and members of the board please leave by the emergency exits and congregate in the car park where staff from the conference centre will ask you where to go to a point of safety. Can I ask all members of the public and members of the board to ensure your mobile phones are switched off or onto silent? May I remind you that this meeting is recorded, and can I ask that all members of the committee speak clearly and make sure their microphones are switched on? Also, members of the public who are speaking at this meeting, please ensure the microphone is switched on when you're speaking. This meeting will be held in silence so that members of the committee can make an informed decision. Do I have any apologies for absence?
None to report, Chairman.
Item number two. To confirm as a correct record the minutes of the meeting of this committee held on the 11th of April 2016. Mrs. Addison wishes to make a statement before I ask for a proposal.
Thank you. I have two comments to make. First of all, in respect of application P/2016/0139 for 101 Braddon's Hill Road East, I'd just like to clarify that this decision was made on the basis that there will be a deed of variation to link this proposal to the original Section 106 relating to the development on the site. The second request relates to application P/2016/0078 for the new railway station at Riviera Way, Newton Road. And this was to request that the conditions be delegated to the Chief Executive rather than just sticking to the conditions that were in the printed agenda. Thank you.
So do I have a proposal to accept the minutes? Councillor Mike Morey proposed, seconded by Councillor Terry Manning. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Do I have any declarations of interest? No. Item number four, urgent items. Again, Mrs. Helen Addison wishes to make a statement.
Thank you. This relates to application P/2016/0078 for the railway station at Land off Newton Road and Riviera Way. Members will recall that their decision was made subject to the receipt of satisfactory revised plans by the next meeting of the Development Management Committee, which is today, to remove the car parking provision from the application or it be refused. I regret to inform you that due to technical problems, it's not been possible to secure those plans, deleting the car parking, and we would ask for an extension of time to secure the revised plans without needing to bring the application back to the Development Management Committee, please.
Can I have a proposal to accept what Mrs. Addison has proposed to the next meeting? Yeah. So it's been proposed by Councillor Chris Robson, seconded by Councillor Mrs. Jane Barmby. All those in favour? That is unanimous. We shall now move to the applications. The first application is 177 Roselands Drive, which is found on page 23 of your paper documents for members of the public.
Thank you. This application relates to a two-storey detached dwelling situated on the eastern side of Roselands Drive, and it is adjacent to properties in Lancaster Drive. The application before you today is for a single-storey extension to the side of the dwelling with a pitched roof over and a single-storey extension to the rear that would have a monopitched roof over. This is the site location plan, and you can see the location of the property, where the yellow arrow is, and adjoining properties in Lancaster Drive that are at 90 degrees to the property. And we visited two of those properties this morning on your site visits. You can see from the photograph taken from Roselands Drive that the existing dwelling has a flat roof garage to the side of it. And you can also see from this photograph that the ground levels drop to the north and the east, resulting in the adjoining dwellings in Lancaster Drive being at a lower level than the application site. And the case officer, whilst carrying out his site visit, has taken a couple of photographs of the adjoining properties in Lancaster Drive from the application site. This is a photograph from the patio at the rear of the application site, looking towards the rear of 6 Lancaster Drive. And we have a photograph from the rear of the application site, looking towards the rear of number 4 Lancaster Drive. And this is the floor plan of the existing dwelling. And you can see on the left-hand plan, on the left-hand side, the single-storey flat roof garage, which extends approximately two-thirds of the depth of the property, set slightly behind the front building line. And this is the floor plan for the application before you, which is to extend the garage to the rear of the existing garage and for a conservatory extension across the entire rear of the property. There are no windows proposed on the side elevation of the garage, on this side elevation here, and there are windows proposed in the rear elevation of the extension. And this is the roof plan that shows the pitched roof over the garage at the side with a monopitched roof over the extension at the rear. And this plan, this is the extension, the garage and the extension here, and this shows the footprint of the adjoining dwellings in Lancaster Drive. As the title of the slides, this is the existing front and rear elevations of the property, and this is the proposed elevations of the property, showing the pitched roof over the garage and also the monopitched roof over the extension at the rear. We have the existing side elevations of the property, and the proposed side elevations. The dotted line here is the existing boundary wall, so this is quite helpful in showing you how much of an increase in height there will be on the side boundary of the property as a result of the extension. And this is the other side. This shows the conservatory at the rear, and this is the front porch that's not changing. And we have a section through here which shows the relationship of the proposed extension to the property at the rear, number 14 Lancaster Drive. Shows the difference in levels and also the distance between the two properties. The applicant submitted a photo montage of how he sees the extension will look from the adjoining property if it was constructed. And another CGI of the proposed extension. And finally, this is a plan of a previous consent that has been granted on the site under application reference 2008-1045, and it was for a larger extension on the site than is currently proposed. You will see on the floor plan, the 2008 consent projected forward on than the front building line, and it was deeper at the rear and with a higher roof than is before you today. This consent's now expired, so it has limited weight in your decision making. I'll just go back to the perhaps stay on there. In the officer report to you, there are three issues that are considered. Firstly, impact on amenity. The case officers concluded that the proposal would not result in a significantly worse impact in terms of loss of light and overbearing relationship to the properties in Lancaster Drive. And also, the proposed development would not result in any worse overlooking or loss of privacy impacts to neighbouring properties than the existing situation. And there would not be an unacceptable overbearing impact upon neighbouring properties in Lancaster Drive. The second issue is impact on the character and appearance of the area and of the existing property and street scene, and this is judged to be acceptable in terms of the design and the scale of the extension. There would be no adverse impact on the amenity, visual amenity of the area. Thirdly, flood risk. As the site is within a designated critical drainage area, a condition is required to control the rate of drainage of surface water, as on page 26 of the agenda. The recommendation is approval subject to the condition requiring details of surface water discharge to be submitted to the council. Thank you.
I have one speaker this afternoon on this application, Mr. Steve Harper. Mr. Harper, you will have 5 minutes, and I will remind you when you have 30 seconds remaining. Please make sure your microphone is switched on.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, councillors, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Steve Harper, and I'm the owner of 177 Roselands Drive and the architect of the proposed plan. One of the major issues that has been raised and we were very much aware of was the overlook of the other local housing, and we've made every available attempt to meet those requirements. The second issue has been about drainage. One of the reasons that we have changed from our current flat roof to the pitched roof is to improve the drainage situation that we have. I've replaced the existing garage roof twice within the last 10 years, and it's now starting to show wear again. What we have done, and I've worked with surveyors in the system, is to ensure that the pitch of the roof now at 15 degrees has adequate guttering, and we have now revised the whole guttering and drainage around the house. We started with the front corner of the house where we had had previously a little bit of subsidence, and we have all new drainage there. And at the rear of the house, the rear fall of the left-hand side, the rear aspect, has one gutter, and it is now completely gutted and piped into an existing outlet, so it is fully dealt with as from a drainage point of view, and it goes into the main drainage outlet. So throughout the process of the build, we have tried to ensure that we have met all building requirements and any requirements from intrusion and also from the flooding risk. That concludes.
Thank you very much. Please take your seat back in the public gallery.
Can I just add one further point? We did also, during the process, look at other alternative designs to reduce the impact, one of which was to slant the roof the other way. But as you can see, we have an issue with the pitch related to the proximity to the underside of the windows. So this was why the design was done with the single roof pitch over the rear with the double roof pitch over the garage. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions, members, to the officers? Councillor Mrs. Jane Barmby.
Thank you. Could you go back to the pictures of what it would supposedly look like? Thank you. Could I ask you as well, Chairman? So that last picture, the one before this one, which house is that going to be affecting?
Number four, Lancaster Drive, which I'm not sure that you came with us, but we looked at two properties in Lancaster Drive, and this was the first one that we looked at.
I have done a site visit, if you remember.
Yes, I am aware of that.
Any more questions? No more questions? Any debate? No debate. Do I have a proposal? Councillor Manning?
I can't see really it's going to affect my...
Phone, please.
My proposal is to grant it, yes.
So you're proposing approval?
Approval, yeah. Right.
Do you have a seconder? Councillor Chris Robson. Just before we move to the vote, any more debate?
Minded to go to the approval then with that condition about?
Thank you. Drainage. About controlling the rate of discharge from the surface water drainage. Thank you very much.
Are you happy to accept that? Yes, that's fine.
So let's move to the vote. All those in favour of approval? That is unanimous. The application is approved. The second application can be found on page 27, 6 Quantox Road, Torquay.
Thank you. This application relates to a detached bungalow on the south side of Quantox Road. The property has a detached garage to the side, which is set back behind the front building line of the property. You can see that the arrow is pointing almost to the garage. And aerial photograph, which shows the relationship of the property particularly to properties at the rear in Broad Park Road. And this is a photograph of the front of the property. You can see the detached flat roof single garage at the side of the property. And this is the existing floor plan of the property. It's single-storey property, so only one level on the floor plan, which shows the garage at the side of the property, which currently is built right up to the boundary with the adjoining property. The application that's before you today is to demolish the garage and to form an extension to the side to be used for storage purposes, a new porch, and as additional living accommodation. And we noted on our site visit this morning that the proposed extension would be set off the boundary with the adjoining property number 4 Quantox Road. And the proposed extension would extend beyond the rear building line by 1.8 metres in height. And I have in my notes that a 1.8 metre high timber fence is proposed along the boundary with number 4 Quantox Road. And this is the existing front and rear elevations of the property. And the proposed elevations, front and rear, which shows that there will be a hipped roof over the extension, which will run into the main ridge line of the property. And existing side elevations, and this proposal shows you the proposed side elevations, and the elevation at the top is the one that would be adjacent to number 4 Quantox Road, and you can see that there are no windows proposed in the east side elevation of the extension. And this is the existing roof plan and the proposed roof plan, and this is this area to the side with the hipped roof. That is the extension that is before you today. Since the report was written, we've now received the drainage officer's consultation response, and he has said that the applicant indicates that they would discharge surface water to the existing combined sewer, and in order to comply with the council's policies in the new local plan, the applicant needs to investigate a sustainable drainage solution option before this can be agreed, and he requests the submission of further information. In the officer report to you, the officers advise that the issues to be considered are visual impact, and in the report it's noted that number 4 Quantox Road has had an extension to the side of the property. It's assessed that the proposed extension is visually acceptable in this location and would not be an unduly dominant addition to the property. It's noted that the extension set back behind the front building line, and it would not have an adverse effect on the visual amenity and appearance in the street scene. In terms of impact on residential amenity, there is an objection from number 4 Quantox Road about the loss of light to the bathroom and kitchen in this property. It's noted that the proposed extension would project 1.6 metres further forward than the existing garage does on the site. Our judgment as officers, we consider that the proposed extension would not have a sufficiently detrimental impact on adjoining occupiers to justify refusal on this ground. In terms of flood risk, a condition is required requiring details of submission of surface water drainage. And I did note when I was preparing my notes that if you look on page 30, we have done some cutting and pasting, and there is an error because it refers to a coffee kiosk. And obviously this application has no relation to a coffee kiosk. So I just say that that's an administrative error. The recommendation to you is approval subject to the two conditions in the officer report. Thank you.
Members, I have one speaker this afternoon, Mr. Philip Reed, who will speak against the application. Mr. Reed, if you'd like to come to the table, you will have 5 minutes, and I will remind you when you have 30 seconds remaining. Please make sure your microphone is switched on.
Thank you, Chairman. I just really wanted to address the issue, which I think is my primary concern and objection, is to do with the loss of light. I think you'll note, if you've been reading the paperwork that goes with the application, that even the architect's comments are that there will be a loss of light. I should further add that in regard to this, I did submit two photographs for the committee's consideration, which you haven't shown, and it shows at 5:15 in the afternoon the sun coming across. Can we go back to the roof? It's the bit I'm concerned about, please. That one. Well, if you also looked at the first photograph of the property, this is another key one which shows the flat roof. Can we go back to that as well? There we are. Effectively, what the proposal is to fill in from the ridge height right across to the roof to the left hand side of the garage. So the whole of that area where you can currently see the hills of Brixham or Dartmouth or wherever, that will all be completely blocked in, and that is will then. From the photographs I submitted to the council, it shows that there is sun streaming in there at 5:15 in the afternoon, and that will no longer happen because of the whole of that area comes, you know, will be totally filled in and obscure my view. Yes, I had an extension built on mine. There were two objections. Again, the issue of light came in. It's a matter of record. And I retained my roof as a pitch roof, one, to be in keeping with the rest of the road, and secondly, so that my neighbour didn't lose any light. So therefore, as far as I'm concerned, it has a detrimental effect on my light in my dining area of my kitchen. Okay, maybe the bathroom is not such a big deal, but it actually will totally obliterate any sunlight in there from the latter half of the day. And bear in mind, the sun goes round from the left of the photograph round to the right and finishes in the evening, sort of at roof height on his roof. It will totally obscure my whole view. As I said, their architect agrees that there will be a loss of light. It's in his writing, in his submission. I think that's all I have to say on the matter, really.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reid. If you'd like to return to your seat, thank you. Any questions, members, to the planning officers? No questions. Any debate? No debate. Do I have a proposal on the table? Councillor Mike Morey? With conditions. Councillor Mike Morey has moved approval with conditions. Do you have a seconder? Councillor Mrs. Jane Barmby. So it's been proposed for approval and seconded. All those in favour? Against? Abstentions? One abstention. The application is approved. Third application this afternoon can be found on page 32, 63, Babbacombe Downs Road, St. Mary Church, Torquay.
Thank you. Before I start the presentation, I need to advise members that there have been a number of late representations received from the applicant. One of the later representations, letter dated 27th of April, what has been circulated to members with the late representations at the end of last week. We've also received a late transport statement, and I'm in receipt of a letter dated 5th of May from the architect, which came in after the late representations were circulated to members. So I will read this letter to you. It states, in your report to the committee, it appears that you have overlooked the representations made in connection with the continued use of this building and its viability. We've been requested by the owners to bring the following to the committee's attention in considering this proposal. The original owners, Hall and Woodhouse Brewery Group, a national concern, took ownership of the premises and operated the premises as a public house stroke restaurant and bar and were unable to make a success of the operation. They never operated the building as a hotel. The present client acquired these premises from them some 5 to 6 years ago, and since this time the building has never been operated as a hotel. Even the council's report of 2010 identifies the buildings as a cafe restaurant, and the building is not defined as a hotel. Only restaurant dining uses and lounge bar facilities have been operated, together with external terraces in the summer months, by a plethora of various tenants, all of which have failed to make a success of their ventures. Tenants have only ever operated on the two lower floors. The client has continually endeavoured to market the building for a wider use, and there has not been any group willing to take it on. The owners have a list of marketing agents who consistently have been engaged to pursue new users. As an example, JD Weatherspoons expressed an interest. Following their comprehensive research, they declined to have any operation in this part of Babbicombe, citing that because of the seasonal nature, it was simply not viable. It then raises the issue of extension of the building. In view of the feedback, it is considered Torbay would not support such an enlarged operation. The minimum economic unit is around 100 bedrooms that is far larger than currently exists, and as is embodied in the submitted planning scheme. This therefore leaves an ailing building for which there is no commercial user, which has positioned the client with an uninsurable asset. The evidence is available to back all of this up. If you wish to have a round-the-table discussion about the matter, the client can produce reams of information. The owners therefore reassess their position. In doing so, consider that a mixed use incorporating residential apartments with some commercial activity would best fit a viable and recognised business model and still in spirit meet with the tourist policy. This sort of use has been accepted by Torbay Council previously, namely at the Palm Court, and it was considered this is a reasonable way forward. The owners are not prepared to continue subsidising the existing situation. I have also been asked to advise that currently, whilst the building remains empty, that it still will have to be boarded up and barricaded to ensure compliance with the insurers in due course, unless a regeneration scheme comes to fruition in the short term. This is what will have to occur. It is from this stance that the owners decided to lodge the current regeneration planning application. In the longer term, it is better to have a viable use operating from the site than a building which becomes derelict or redundant. So the application before you today relates to a prominent corner site at the southeast end of Babbicombe Downs Road. It's opposite the junction with Beach Road and close to the Babbicombe Theatre. Currently on the site, there is a large three-storey building which has rendered walls under a flat parapet roof. There's an area of hard standing and some outdoor terraces. The application site is located within the Babbicombe Downs Conservation Area. It is identified as a key building in the Conservation Area appraisal. The site is within a core tourism investment area as defined in the Torbay local plan. Having looked at the planning history relating to the building, it is the officer's view that the lawful use of the building is as a bar restaurant with holiday accommodation on the second floor of the building. And we have some street views of the existing building on the site. You can see the existing materials are predominantly render, which is reasonably consistent with adjoining buildings. And this is the side view looking towards the theatre. And looking further down Babbicombe Downs Road, again, you can see other rendered buildings in the vicinity. And this is the eastern side view of the existing building. Have existing elevation plans of the building that's on the site at the moment. And this is the existing footprint of the building that is on the site currently. With the existing first and second floor buildings on the site. And this is the proposal that is before you. The application is in outline. It is to demolish the existing building and to construct a new building on the site, which would comprise 14 apartments to be used for permanent residential accommodation, with two commercial units to be used as a cafe, retail, or restaurant use at ground floor level. There would be a parking area underneath the building, and this slide is useful because it shows this is the side view of the building, and it shows the proposed entrance to the lower car parking area, which would be a new access point to the site. And this is the principal, would be the principal elevation of the building that's proposed, which would face Babbicombe Downs Road. I said that the application submitted in outline, and the applicant has requested to fix access, appearance, layout and scale at this stage, and the only reserved matter would be landscaping. The proposal that is before you is for a four-storey building with underground parking. And in the officer report, it's noted that the building will be approximately 12 metres high. You can see from the elevation in front of you that the proposed building would have a modern appearance with a large proportion of glazing. There are hipped roof elements which would provide visual breaks between floors, and there is some stepping back between the floors as the building rises, which would create some balcony space for the occupiers of the apartments. And this is the side elevation that you would see from further along Babbicombe Downs Road. I have the floor plans. This is the lower ground floor, and I mentioned when we were looking at the side of the building, there would be a new access point formed on the side to serve the parking area. And this parking area would provide 16 parking spaces and one garage space underneath the building. This is the proposed ground floor layout, and you can see on here on the right-hand side there are two commercial units which are indicated on the plans as being cafe leisure units and one residential unit to be formed on the ground floor, three-bedroom residential unit. You can see that the existing access point on the corner of the site is retained, and an additional three parking spaces are proposed in this location, with terrace areas which would be linked with the cafe leisure uses in the front curtilage of the property. At first floor level, six two-bedroom flats are proposed. At second floor level, there are four flats proposed, two of which would be two bedrooms and two would have three bedrooms. And on the third floor of the building, there would be two two-bedroom flats and one three-bedroom flat. We have an aerial shot of the site and its surroundings, and obviously it's this building here that we're looking at. In the officer report before you, there are a number of key issues, and I'll just touch on these. The first issue that's identified is tourism impact. As I said earlier, the site is within the core tourism investment area, as identified in the new local plan. Policies T01 and T02 are applicable. Policy T01 is a more general policy that advises that the Council wishes to see a wide range of new and refurbished tourism facilities in core tourism areas. Policy T02 has a presumption that the tourism role of premises should be retained and enhanced. Changes of use of accommodation and facilities to non-hotel use will only be permitted where the premises lack an appropriate range of facilities and scope for an improvement, and where it can be demonstrated that there's no reasonable prospect of the site being used or redeveloped for tourism purposes. It's noted in the officer report that the area around the site does have a distinctive character. It's concluded that the proposal would reduce holiday facilities and remove holiday accommodation from within a core tourism investment area. The proposal would result in the loss of 396 square metres of commercial floor space and 3 units of holiday accommodation, which have a condition restricting the use to holiday purposes only. It's therefore concluded that this proposal is contrary to policies T01 and T02 in the local plan. The second issue that's identified is impact on the conservation area and the visual amenity of the area. In the officer report before you, on page 39, the officers made reference to a number of paragraphs in the National Planning Policy Framework, policies paragraphs 131, 132 and 137, and policy SS10 in the local plan, which are relevant. All these policies and the policy in the local plan relate to the desirability of sustainable development and enhancing the significance of heritage assets and making a positive contribution to the conservation of heritage assets through new development. In the Babbacombe Downs Conservation Area appraisal, reference is made to the handsome stucco or rendered frontages as a feature of Babbacombe Downs Road and being the predominant building material in the area. The proposed development will result in a significant increase in massing of the building. There'll be an increase in the length and depth of the building form on the site, which will result in a far more dominant building on the site that relates poorly to the established pattern and character of the townscape in the area. The appearance of the proposed building will be of predominantly glazed floors delineated by small hipped canopy elements. The design and access statement submitted by the applicant states that the building is seeking to be a landmark building with its own distinctive and prestigious character. In the officer report, it's noted that Babbacombe Downs area, a conservation area, retains a pleasant character by virtue of the grouping that is self-reinforcing. And the report concludes that the design approach adopted in this instance conflicts with the character of the buildings in the area and is considered to present a non-contextual development that responds poorly to the constraints of the area. So I want to make reference to the consultation response from the Council's Conservation Officer and just read you a couple of sentences from that. The Conservation Officer has said, "We are being presented with an overlarge, ill-massed structure of alien material and antipathetic to the character of the conservation area. The Hawaiian punch pot bays are presented as striking modern development. In his judgment, they are not that." I also need to make reference to the conservation response that's been forwarded to you from Historic England. Historic England object to the proposed development, and they say the replacement is a substantial glazed and rendered contemporary design which utilises the same footprint but with a consistent 4 storeys across the majority of the site. This results in a significant increase to the massing of the building that is out of context with its setting, while the design approach conflicts with the use of materials' sense of proportions and formality experiences within the area. Consequently, the scheme will have an adverse effect on the character and appearance of the conservation area, resulting in harm. The next issue that's addressed in the officer report is the quality of residential accommodation that would be delivered as a result of the proposal. It's noted that generally the internal space and living environment is satisfactory. Some concern is identified with regard to apartments on the southern side of the building and the potential for noise and disturbance within the residential developments that are in close proximity to commercial units. Impact on amenity of adjoining occupiers. The report refers to an adverse impact on properties to the south, which where the height of the building will go up from a single-storey wall on the boundary to a four-storey building. Drainage and flood risk. Due to the designation of the site as being within the critical drainage area, detailed drainage proposals should be submitted as part of any planning application submission. The applicant has stated that the development will connect to the public sewer. No information has been submitted on why a sustainable drainage system cannot be provided, which is contrary to both the National Planning Policy Framework and policies ER1 and ER2 in the Torbay Local Plan. It's noted that should a connection to the public sewer be acceptable, the applicant would need to demonstrate that they can discharge at a controlled rate. Highways, parking and access. The proposal would provide 17 parking spaces within the underground car park and three further spaces at ground floor level. A transport statement was submitted in support of the application and received by the council on the 5th of May. And the transport officer has made some comments in relation to this. He's advised that the transport statement does not contain a TRIX or similar based assessment of traffic generated by the proposal compared to the existing generation, nor is there any indication of traffic flows on Babbacombe Downs Road beyond the statement that it is lightly trafficked. He does note, however, that the transport statement does indicate the site's accessibility to pedestrians and buses. And he also welcomes the undertaking that cycle parking and electrical charging points will be provided. Given that there's an existing trip generation from the site, he advises that he doesn't consider that there is an in-principle highways objection to the redevelopment. However, there remain significant unresolved issues about the proposed access and loss of on-street parking, which would be required in order to form the new access to the parking area, and the potential to mitigate this. He goes on with regard to the new access to the parking area and advises that the transport statement does not provide details of road speeds, visibility splays or the required loss of street parking and very limited modelling of the access. Babbacombe Downs Road is 30 miles an hour, which would require technically a 43-metre visibility splay. In practice, it's unlikely that the 85th percentile speed would be reached on this road, and therefore it would be acceptable to have a reduced visibility splay. However, in the absence of further traffic speed data, he does not consider that it would be appropriate to assume the 85th percentile speeds of less than 25 miles per hour. It may be acceptable to reduce the visibility splay requirement, but there would need to be a take away of on-street parking in order to provide visibility. It's noted in the report to you that no geotechnical information or any information on existing ground conditions has been submitted that would provide certainty on whether the level of excavation required to provide the underground parking is achievable. It's also noted by the transport officer that the provision of the underground parking would be necessary to ensure that there is adequate flood safety, ventilation and clearance. Furthermore, the access to the parking area indicated in the submitting scheme has a gradient of 1 in 6, which is below the minimum acceptable, which is 1 in 8. Without the information about the ground conditions, there is the potential that it's not actually possible to provide the underground parking, which would inevitably have an impact on implications on the height of the building. Final issue that's identified in the report before you is Section 106 contributions, which on a development of this scale, you'd normally expect some contributions to offset the impact of the development on existing infrastructure. As there are a number of other policy objections to this application, these have not been pursued by the case officer, but it's identified that it is likely the council would seek contributions to mitigate the impact on green space and recreation, sustainable transport, waste management and lifelong learning. If members are decide to refuse the application, a reason for refusal in terms of not having Section 106 or unilateral undertaking should be included in the list of reasons. In conclusion, it is disappointing that the applicant has not submitted a pre-application inquiry, which we have found an effective way of resolving issues prior to an application submission and is advocated in the National Planning Policy Framework. A scheme on this prominent site would also be a good candidate for design review panel, which we have found on other sites to add value to a number of schemes that have subsequently been delivered. The proposed development before you is contrary to policies in the new local plan, and there are a number of reasons for refusal, which relate to loss of tourist facilities and holiday accommodation in a core tourism investment area. The design and massing harmful to the character and appearance of the Babbicombe Downs Conservation Area. Due to the proximity of residential units to noise-generating commercial units and arrangement of units, there would be a poor standard of residential amenity for occupiers. There's a failure to demonstrate that the basement parking can be delivered to an acceptable standard, and a failure to demonstrate that the proposal would not result in an increased risk of flooding within a critical drainage area. Finally, the absence of the Section 106 or unilateral undertaking. So the recommendation to you is one of refusal on the basis of the reasons noted on pages 45 and 46 of the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Addison, for your very full and in-depth officer report. I have two speakers who will speak for the application, Mr. Tony Carter and Mr. Rodney Howes. You'll have 5 minutes between you. If you'd like to come to the table, please. Do you want to come together and share the... If you want to sit together, then you can share the 5 minutes between you. All right, thank you. Make sure the microphone is switched on, and I will remind you when you have 30 seconds remaining from your 5 minutes.
I am Rodney Howes, the architect from Howes Partnership, who's been overseeing this outline application. And we have been in practice in Torbay since 1972. Over that period, we've seen various local authority designations intending for protecting the existing environment that all come to nothing. And there's been a steady decline in the status of Torbay as far as a premier resort is concerned. Declarations by the local authority to keep back the overwhelming tide of change has failed to address this situation. In fact, Torbay's cure is one of wholesale designation, a policy that really has not achieved its intended aim. The position is still ongoing and areas have been blighted through policy not responding to change quick enough. National Planning Policy Framework is all about change and the need to embrace the connection between people and places. Under paragraph 19, planning should operate to encourage and not as an impediment. It may be policy to turn away applications for uses that cross barriers, but this is not effectively addressing the root causes. Large parts, even in Belgrave Road area, have seen a push away from hotel use, and many original premises suffer from a lack of investment that they cannot realise. This leads us to the fundamental reasons for this outline planning application. This is a failing building. The client has consulted with his neighbours, on all of which support this scheme. Torbay has crossed policy lines before, with the Palm Court, for example, and this exhibits a situation where we've got one existing building and what you've actually approved on the photograph which shows the next one. And what this amounts to is that the building that you've approved is some 50% bigger than what was there before. It swept away a building that was coloured yellow on the plan that was supposed to be of great significance to the conservation area with which it was contained. The officer's report produced for this meeting is not constructive, and in fact it is slanted against the scheme. The report is disingenuous in that, in some cases, the merit of the proposals, in fact, is stopped short and it's not reported to the committee. This is an innovative, original and high-quality proposal, and it breathes a breath of fresh air, possibly different than what's already there, into the Babbacombe area, and its intention is to regenerate and reproduce and encourage the development of the area to the betterment of Torbay in itself. These proposals represent a major investment in Babbacombe. The refusal here robs the area of a lead of faith that the application is putting before you to start a Babbacombe revival. Under NPP rules paragraph 60, planning is supposed to be about not imposing styles or tastes, and the report that's been before you today almost suggests that, in fact, we should reproduce what's already there. The proposals will introduce certain tourist elements within the scheme for cafes and restaurants that will benefit the seafront and the users of the theatre, and it has very close similarities to those of the Palm Court. Committee members are being recommended to refuse the proposals. However, members do have the right to express their views, and I hope today that they can do so by registering support for this application. The next planning stage, or at least to defer a decision to direct the planning department to pay and give encouragement to enable a subsequent detailed application to be submitted. Broadly, these proposals have many similarities to the Palm Court, as I've already said. Strict planning policy was breached and consent was given for a much larger building with other uses. As the applicant's representative, everything we so far have seen does not suggest consistency in considering applications. When it is convenient, planning ignores advices and it uses its own guidelines. This is evidence in other cases which are similar to this sort of thing. Not only is the Palm Court, but Firmham Court, the old library site, and now it seems that you're going to now consider proposals for the pavilion that breached planning rules as far as size and height is concerned. I cannot overemphasise that this is a failing
30
building.
30 seconds remaining.
Thank you. I cannot emphasise the failing building. The applicant has tried over the last 6 years and has ceased that, and the hotel has ceased, and this problem has been ongoing for a lot longer than the issue was highlighted at the point of this submission. The scheme still incorporates tourist uses, loss of hotel bedrooms, and fundamentally, this is the right solution for this location. I thank you for that, for the time. Thank you. Do you want to say anything?
Your time is up, gentlemen.
I can't speak that time.
Right. Thank you very much. If you'd like to resume your seats, right. Please. Members, any questions to the officers? No questions. Any debate? Councillor Chris Robson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think I've ever heard anybody come into this room and slag off the planning process and expect the committee to take a lenient view of that. There is a significant difference between this proposal and the likes of Palm Court. Palm Court is a good proposal. This is not.
If we could just keep the debate on this proposal, Councillor, it just makes it a lot more clearer what we're debating.
Absolutely. Quite correct. There are so many reasons why this proposal has not got our approval, has not and did not meet with the approval or the recommendation, wasn't approval by the planning officers. I don't know why there was no pre-application. That would have been sensible. This site is so prominent, it is so important to Babbacombe, it should certainly go before the design review panel, and I certainly will be recommending refusal.
Do you have a seconder? Councillor Steve Darling, and I think you wished to speak, didn't you?
I think that when one looks at the prominence of this, one is reminded of the Ugly Sisters development on Torquay Harbourside, which was a mistake some years ago. And I think clearly we don't want to repeat a similar mistake on in Babbacombe, where it would be even more imposing on this site. I hope that any future applications would reduce the footprint and actually make sure that we reflect we'd seen highlighted in the report as far as the building style and the quality, so that we actually protect rather than ravage our area. So I'd be keen for members to back this refusal. Thank you, Chair.
Before we move to the vote, Councillor Mike Morey, did you wish to speak?
only briefly, Chair.
Microphone.
Okay. Only very briefly, nobody is arguing that this could be a prime site for development. The question is, what is the right sort of development for this site? Like previous councillor who spoke, and I can't remember who it was now, it's an old age thing. I'm surprised that such a major development in this area, the application didn't come forward without pre-application talks to planners, just to see what could be acceptable or not. Certainly, we can't go ahead without any sort of 106 agreement for such a major development. And I just I'm easy for criticism, but it's worth noting that part of the local plan does identify certain areas for tourism, etc., that has been supported by the inspector. Therefore, to me, it's slightly unfair blaming the council for policies that the inspector has also supported. But that's by and by. I don't want to go into that. Likewise, I would urge, if this is refused, I would urge the developer to start talks again with the council, just to see, as I say, what could be acceptable.
Thank you, Councillor. Before we move to the vote, is there any more debate? Councillor Terry Manning.
I just think the four-storey is much, compared to the other buildings here, it's much too big. And I think we should have the 106 that should be looked into as well. And I just don't think it's the right design for the area. And I think it should be seconded to turn it down.
Thank you, Councillor Manning. If there's no more debate, it's been proposed by Councillor Robson and seconded by Councillor Steve Darling. Councillor Robson, are you happy to accept the reasons in the report for refusal?
Yes, plus, of course, as Mrs. Addison pointed out, the Section 106... addition.
I actually thought it was in there. Is it not? It did. Yes. We've already
number
that
six,
is identified
yeah.
in the reasons for yeah. you.
So we're now moved to the vote. It's been proposed for refusal and seconded. All those in favour for refusal. That is unanimous. The application is refused, gentlemen.
Thank you.
The fourth application can be found on page 7, Odeway Mansion, Torquay Road, Paignton.
This item relates to two applications to discharge conditions at Oldway Mansion. This matter has previously been brought before this committee on the 9th of February and at your meeting on the 4th of March. Yes. This item's included on the agenda, and it's a request for a further 2 months to resolve matters relating to the independent viability assessment. And the negotiations are taking longer than originally anticipated, as they're reasonably complex, and the council's had to take independent advice on this matter, and the independent assessor has sought further information to clarify the situation. And the independent viability assessment is important because it underpins the outline development programme. And in the report, it's advised that the financial appraisal, when it's completed, will need to be reviewed by Historic England's enabling team. And also in the report, it is Ruth has suggested that an interim report on the updated independent viability assessment could be made available to members in advance of the Historic England enabling team review, if they so required. But the request before you today is for a further extension of a further 2 months in order to complete the work on this before it comes to you for a decision. Thank you.
Members, if I may just add a little bit of detail to Helen's neat summary there. I have been involved in discussions with the applicants and our viability consultants. We are moving forward, I can assure you of that, and other options for delivery. And we must remember here that it's the delivery of the refurbishment of the mansions, the other listed buildings on the site, and the listed gardens that are so important to us. And those other options do show that there are more viable schemes available and do give us more certainty about the delivery of the outcome that I just outlined. So I'm far more certain now that there is a solution than I was a month, certainly 2 months ago, and we are working on those. We now need to get into the detail of those solutions, and that's what we're starting to discuss with the applicants and with the advice of our consultants. And we have been in touch with English Heritage, Historic England, who will, as Helen has advised, work through this revised proposal with their viability team. We'll also be arranging a briefing with members before this comes back to committee, so you will have a full understanding of where we've got to, what the options were that we've considered, and what the best option in our view is, so that you have sight of that and are well informed in terms of making a decision on this proposal. It comes back to you, as I say, hopefully within 2 months, but we'd ask for a further 2 months to work on this.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Any questions to the officers? No questions. Any debate? Councillor Mike Morey?
I don't think we've got much option but to go for those 2 months. However, I think it's fair to say that members' patience is being tested sorely over the old way. But in this case, I think I'd move for the 2 months extension.
Thank you, Councillor Morey, and we note your comments. Councillor Roger Stringer? And it's been seconded. Any more debate? No more debate. So we shall move to the vote. The extension of a further 2 months be allowed. All those in favour? That is unanimous. The fifth application can be found on page 47, land at Princess Gardens off Torbay Road, Torquay.
Thank you. This application is for temporary construction and operation of a 50-metre-high observation wheel and associated development to include a coffee and crepe unit, and for the wheel and associated infrastructure to be on site until the 31st of October 2016. It's noted in the report to you that the applicant wishes to commence work to have the observation wheel in place in time for the spring bank holiday. And it is also noted that this is the fifth application for temporary consent for an observation wheel in this location. The proposal is to site the observation wheel in the same place as it has been in the past, which is adjacent to the pavilion. It's noted that the pavilion is a Grade 2 listed building, and the application site is within Princess Gardens, which is a Grade 2 entry on the Register of Historic Parks and Garden. The fountain and war memorial are close by, and they are also Grade 2 listed. The application site is within the Torquay Harbour Conservation Area. Historic England comments have been received, and they were circulated to you with the late representations. The application site is sensitive due to its location within the registered park and garden, which is identified on the Heritage at Risk Register. The scheme was identified within the original correspondence as being harmful by Historic England, and Historic England note that the scheme has failed to provide appropriate information in which to assess the harm as well as the justification. They advise that the proposals not sufficiently justified the impact of the scheme on the significance of the surrounding heritage assets. And they're not convinced that a less sensitive location for the observation wheel could not be found elsewhere in the Torbay area, which would reduce the impact of the scheme on the historic environment. And Historic England advises that as harm has been identified, the local planning authority needs to consider the harm caused against the public benefits of the development. And I'll just run through the proposed development. This is the floor plan showing where the wheel would go and the coffee kiosk, which would be on the seaward side of the development. And the wheel and the kiosk. And previously before you, there's been an issue about lighting around the wheel and a request that cowls are placed on the lighting in order not to cause a nuisance to nearby occupiers. And in the officer report to you, there are three issues identified. The impact on the heritage asset, and it's noted that permanent occupation of the land adjacent to the pavilion by the observation wheel would in the long term be harmful to the architectural and historic character of the site. It's likely that this will be the last time for the temporary occupation of this site by the wheel, which is primarily due to the fact that the applicant's been awarded a 5-year contract by the council for siting an attraction elsewhere in the gardens. And also it's noted that works could commence on restoration of the pavilion later this year. In the officer report to you, it's advised that Temporary sighting of a wheel on the site would compensate to some degree for the loss of vitality and activity arising from the closure of the pavilion and enhance the attractiveness of the wider area for tourists and residents alike. The short-term and reversible nature of the impact are also important considerations. In terms of amenity, it's noted that providing the light is mitigation measures continue, that there will be no adverse effect on the amenity of occupiers in the area. And the third issue is the structural stability of the site. And it's noted that occupation of the site poses no threat to the structural integrity of the pavilion or the gardens. The load of the structure is to be spread by increasing the size of the load-bearing plates. The recommendation to you is one of temporary consent until the 31st of October 2016, subject to the conditions that are on pages 53 and 54 of the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Addison. We have no speakers this afternoon on this application. If I may just ask a couple of questions before I open it to the other members. How much contribution are they making towards the upkeep of Prince's Gardens? And I believe we've been told for a number of years that this is the last time the wheel will return to Torbay, but they seem to be using the same phrase every year it does return.
So, in answer to your questions, first of all, the Council has two applications, current applications, for development at the pavilion, and it's anticipated that these will come before the Development Management Committee later this year, which provides a little more certainty about redevelopment of the pavilion, which would mean that it would not be possible to site the wheel in this position. And as I mentioned in my presentation, the Council has issued a lease for a five-year period for the siting of a wheel in an alternative position. I understand from Mrs. Robinson, the case officer, that in terms of the lease for the five-year position, there will be discussions with Neil Koish, who runs the Parks Department of the Council, about investment from the contribution from the wheel in the historic park and garden. So that has been noted, and it is going to take place.
So there will be contributions towards the upkeep of Prince's Garden?
The Mellors, the operator of the wheel, pay to place the wheel in the historic park and garden, and Mrs. Robinson will be speaking to the head of that department about investing some of that money in the park and garden.
Right, any questions? Councillor Manning, Councillor Mrs. Jane Barmby, then Councillor Steve Darling.
What's that question? It's just you sound about to say every year they say the same thing. I'm glad they say the same thing because I think it's a good investment for Torbay. It brings people in, and I think it's a good attraction and good for Torbay. So I hope they will get their 5 years contract, and it'll be very good for us.
Is that a question or a statement?
That's Councilor? A statement.
Oh, thank you. Let's move on to questions. Councillor Mrs. Jane Barmby.
Thank you, Chairman. It's clarification, actually. I think on our site visits, you said that the wheel this year is 50 metres, whatever it is, but the picture you were showing was 55. The new wheel is going to be 55. This one's 50, isn't it?
Yes, I did notice that when I went through the presentation, and that's why I skipped over that slide quite quickly. But this application that's before you is for a 50 metre wheel, and the one to site another wheel elsewhere, I understand that will be a 55-metre-high wheel, which is why we have the wrong slide on the presentation, and I apologise for that. That will be subject to a separate application that will come to you at a later date.
Councillor Steve Darling.
Thank you. And I actually quite enjoy the current location, but because I think it's often a good juxtaposition of the older building with a modern feature, and they can potentially set each other off. However, I think that as members, we need to give serious consideration to what Historic England say. And if on a previous application, such as Churchill's site, Historic England is saying this is a bad thing, you ought to refuse it, whilst one has great sympathy with the proposal that's before us, I just wonder whether we ought to say, whether we ought to be considering refusal for this. I would welcome some guidance from officers about what weighting we should give to the views of Historic England in this situation. And whilst it isn't necessarily a planning issue for this particular application, I would welcome some guidance as to where the alternative site application is within the system and whether if a refusal considered today might bring forward a speedier response on that particular application. Thank you.
I always find it easier to answer the last bit of the question first. The application for a 5-year stationing of a wheel on an alternative site was submitted, but there was insufficient evidence in support of that application and it was withdrawn by the applicant. So at the moment, there is no application in the system for the 5-year siting of the wheel. Going back to your question about Historic England, what they have said in their comments is that although there is harm, there would be harm to the heritage assets as a result of the proposal, it rests with the local planning authority to consider the public benefits as a result of the proposal. And it is perfectly acceptable for you to make a decision to grant consent for it in terms of the tourism benefit and the vitality and viability that it brings to the area, and that's permissible. The other issue is the fact that this is just a temporary structure in comparison with the previous application. This is a temporary structure which can be removed and the site can be restored to its original form.
Supplementary, Councillor Darling.
And it is just a clarification as to whether when reform was to choose to go for approval on this particular item, whether one could actually say that members are minded that this would be the final temporary approval given, consent given for this, so that it sends a positive message out there that they really need to come forward with their proposals for an alternative site, because this will be the last chance saloon that they're actually in for this particular site.
Can I quickly answer that and say that on any decision notice, we can add an informative, and we can add an informative to that effect that will sit on the decision notice for the planning application.
Councillor Mike Morey.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I mean, I've got no problem with the wheel. In my opinion, it's a good tourist attraction, and not only tourist attraction, but it does give our residents something to be proud of. However, if this is the last year that it's going on this site, and if it is now looking to going in future to go towards the Princess Theatre site area, I'm just a bit concerned. I hear what you say, Helen, about there's been some sort of agreement with Neil to where that money's spent, or some of it, I think you said. And I'm just wondering if we do get a new application next year for a new site, whether that could be dictated to through a 106 agreement. I think it's only fair to say we can't get... I'm struggling because I'm not to want to put my foot in it. We should be more dictatorial, if you like, through a 106 agreement where that money is spent. And I'm just concerned that to leave it vague outside of planning, that it may be all siphoned away somewhere.
I'm going to ask Mrs. Delaney if she would answer that question.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Ordinarily, I'm not convinced that this is the sort of... although I can see there's some sort of harm caused because it's a temporary consent. I'm not certain that there's sufficient harm being caused that would require mitigation through a 106. Of course, this is all council-owned land, and the people operating the wheel will be paying the council rent for use of that land. What we normally do in such circumstances is make a recommendation that income derived or a proportion of that income derived, we say the committee is very desirous that some of that income goes towards improving the parks and gardens nearby. The permanent consent, right, depending on the level of harm caused, I think we could definitely look at that.
That's what I'm thinking. I wasn't thinking about, argument. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about this particular application, but if it was a new permanent one, that's all I'm saying.
Any more questions? No more questions. Any debate? No debate. Do I have a proposal on the table? Councillor Chris Robson.
Yes, I propose approval, but with the direction that Mrs. Addison's pointed out, that this is expected by this committee to be the last application on this site, and that a more permanent, the five-year solution is found.
Do you have a seconder? Councillor Roger Stringer. So it's been proposed approval and seconded. All those in favour with the conditions that we make it absolutely clear this is the last time on this particular site. That is unanimous. The application is approved. The sixth and final application this afternoon can be found on page 55, 28 Shippey Avenue, Torquay.
Thank you. Just point out there's an administrative error in the report, and this property actually sits within the ward of Cockington with Chelston and not within Shippey and the Willows. The application relates to a detached dwelling on the south side of Shippey Avenue that backs onto the boys' grammar school. Have an aerial photograph. There has been a previous planning application relating to this site under application reference P-2016-0093, which was to extend the flat roof garage, which you can see on the left-hand side of the photograph, by 3.9 metres further forward to provide additional living accommodation. The applicant has now revised his proposal, and he now wishes to bring the garage forward by 7 metres to bring it in line with the front building line of the property. So this is a side view of the property. This is the front building line facing the road, and this is the setback of the existing garage. And the proposal before you is for a flat roof extension at the side of the property in this location to provide an extension. This is the existing elevation, and this is the proposed elevation. And we have an existing side elevation where you can see the garage is set back behind the front building line of the property, and a proposed front elevation. The issues identified in the officer report in determining this application are visual impact, and it's concluded that the proposed extension will be ancillary to the existing property and is considered to be acceptable in the street scene. In terms of residential amenity, no adverse effect would occur on the amenity of the adjoining property. And in terms of flood risk, surface water will be disposed of by means of soakaways. The recommendation to you is one of conditional approval with the conditions as stated on pages 57 and 58 of the agenda. Thank you.
There are no speakers this afternoon on this particular item, so we shall go straight to any questions. No questions. Any debate?
Can we push for approval, please?
I'm chairing the meeting. No debate. So do I have a proposal? Councillor Thomas, you wish to move approval. Do you have a seconder? Councillor Barbara... Councillor Thomas Winfield, I beg your pardon, and seconded by Councillor Barbara Cunningham. All those in favour? That is unanimous. The application is approved.
Can I just confirm that that's subject to the conditions identified in the report? Thank you.
I hereby close the meeting. Order.